My name is David Williams. I'm a member of the church family at St Alfred's, and I also serve with the Church Missionary Society of Australia at St Andrew's Hall. It's a privilege to open God's Word with you today as we look at Luke chapter 5 and the story of the paralysed man. So would you pray with me as we turn to the scriptures? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a living and a speaking God. We pray that you would please speak to us through your word today, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, imagine if you'd been there on that day. Imagine if you'd been in the house, and as you looked around the room, you'd have noticed that there are quite a number of strangers there. The religious bigwigs have all turned up to hear Jesus speaking. The Pharisees and the scribes have gathered not just from around Galilee, but they've come from Judea and Jerusalem to hear Jesus teaching. And as he teaches and heals people, everyone's amazed at his words. The Pharisees, of course, are weighing every syllable, looking for the slightest basis on which they can accuse him, the tiniest of things to bring against him. And as everyone's listening, suddenly there's a noise on the roof. Dust starts falling from the ceiling. People are wiping the cobwebs out of their hair. And through the hole in the roof is lowered a paralyzed man on a mat down in front of Jesus. This man has not walked for years. And Jesus looks at him with compassion. But then, shockingly, doesn't speak words of healing to him immediately, or at least not physical healing. He turns to him and says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And the whole room must have gone deathly quiet. Everyone knows, and the Pharisees are muttering to each other, "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And Jesus, knowing what they're thinking, says to them, "Which is it easier, to say to the paralyzed man, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk,' or 'Your sins are forgiven'? But so that you might know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins, he says to the paralyzed man, 'Rise, take up your mat and walk.'" And everyone is amazed and in awe at the wonderful things that they've seen. And we're left with a question. The question is, who is this man? Who is this man, Jesus, who claims to have authority even to forgive sins, a power that only God alone possesses? And that question, who is this man, is perhaps the key question in the gospel. And Luke is giving us a whole number of clues to help us to work out who Jesus is and what he's come to do. In the gospel so far, we've already seen a whole number of clues. The angel came and spoke to Mary and said to Mary that she was going to have a child who was going to be a king forever in the line of David. And then, of course, the Christmas story, the angels appear to the shepherds in the fields outside Bethlehem and say to them, "Today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He's Christ, the Lord, the Messiah, and the Lord." So Luke is unpacking the clues for us. A king forever in the line of David, a saviour, a Messiah, a Lord. And particularly that word saviour is unpacked for us by two other clues that have been given through Simeon and through Zechariah. We've looked at them earlier in this series. And we've learned that the salvation that Jesus is bringing is salvation for the forgiveness of sins. But this isn't a detective story. It's not a detective story where the writer is hiding the clues so that you can't work out who committed the murder until the very last page of the book. Now, Luke is trying to lay out for us an orderly account. He began his gospel by saying to Theophilus, "I want to make things clear for you. I'm writing an orderly account so that you might be able to understand who is this man." And in Luke's orderly account, this story, the story of the paralyzed man, is a key turning point. The focus of Jesus' ministry has been on healing, on preaching, and on releasing people from oppression and from demons, as we've seen over the last few weeks. But at this point in the story, we see very clearly what Simeon and Zechariah pointed us forward to, that at the very heart of Jesus' ministry lies his work to provide forgiveness for our sins. And as the gospel story continues, of course, we'll start to see that Jesus is on a journey, and it's a journey that is inexorably taking him to the cross, to his own death, and to the point where he pays the penalty that makes forgiveness of our sins possible. But Jesus' claim to forgive sins here is truly astonishing. It would be completely outrageous on the lips of anyone else. And the Pharisees have understood that. They know very well that only God has the power and the authority to forgive sins. So when Jesus turns to this paralyzed man lying on the floor in front of him and says, "Son, your sins are forgiven," this is no less than a claim to divinity. This man, Jesus, who walked and talked in Palestine 2,000 years ago, was claiming that he is God. God himself came and walked on our earth. And right at the center of Jesus' ministry is this work of forgiveness, to provide forgiveness for our sins. And for the paralyzed man, that promise, the promise of forgiveness, is proved by the authoritative healing that restores him to his legs, enables him to get up and pick up his mat and go home rejoicing. I'm sure that many of you have visited cities around the world, perhaps in poorer countries, where you've seen people begging on the streets. And certainly in many of those kinds of countries, it's easy to imagine what it looks like to be paralyzed for years, perhaps for decades, perhaps for all of his life. And when you think about those images, the images of people appallingly trapped in poverty by disease or paralysis or some kind of infirmity, it brings the shock of Jesus' words even more clearly into focus. Surely we think this man's greatest need is to have his legs restored and to be able to walk again. He'll be able to get a job. He'll be able to stand up, leap around, hug his friends and family in a way that he's never done before. But when Jesus looks at him, he sees a greater need. The greater need that the Lord Jesus sees is a need for forgiveness of sins. And in saying to him, "Son, your sins are forgiven," Jesus is addressing his greatest need, my greatest need, every single one of us' greatest need. Now, I don't think that in this story Jesus is suggesting that the man is paralyzed as a direct consequence of his personal sin. Jesus makes it clear in John's gospel that isn't the case, that sometimes things happen that are sad or bad or unfortunate as a result of living in a broken world. Now, it's not that this man's paralysis is caused by his personal sin. Rather, we live in a world that is terribly marred and damaged by human sin. And because of human sin, because of our collective rebellion against God, well, it's because of that that disease and illness and paralysis is a part of our world. And it's because of that that Jesus looks at this man and loves him and says to him, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And we must ask ourselves, Who is this man? You see, up to this point in the gospel, we might have been expecting a king who would throw the occupying Roman soldiers out of Palestine. And we've certainly seen that Jesus is a healer. He's healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. He's healed the man from leprosy. He's powerful to release people from demon possession and oppression, and to release people from the power of darkness and from the power of the evil one. And he's certainly a prophet. Everyone recognizes him as such, as a prophet. But this story reveals that there is even more going on. Jesus is not simply a prophet, not simply a healer, not simply the Messiah. And now we understand that Jesus is claiming to be God himself, that God is now walking and talking in Palestine 2,000 years ago. And when God comes to earth in the person of Jesus, the very center and focus of his concern and his ministry is to provide forgiveness of sins. And we need to remember afresh, even in the middle of a coronavirus around the world, that a virus and a pandemic, serious and desperate as that is not our greatest problem. Humanity's greatest problem is our rebellion against God, what the Bible calls sin. We're all rebels against God. We've all turned away from him. We all stand opposed to him. And it's because of that that every single one of us needs forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins is simply our greatest need. Now, perhaps you've joined us this Sunday and you're not a regular member of St. Alfred's. Perhaps these ideas are new to you. Can I encourage you today to dwell on this question? Who is this man? Who is this man, Jesus? Could it be that he is who he claims to be? God walking on earth? Who is Jesus? It's perhaps the greatest question in your life. Finding an answer to that question could hardly be more significant. And if you understand who this Jesus is, you'll understand too that finding forgiveness of sins, forgiveness of our rebellion against God, is simply our greatest need and the most pressing problem that we face. For those who are regular members of St. Alfred's, it's the same lesson, isn't it? We need to be reminded afresh, in all the turmoil and trouble of this year and all the things that have happened to us, that our sin and the need for forgiveness of sins is our greatest need. And wonderfully, in this passage of Scripture, we discover that forgiveness of sins has been given to us. That the Son of Man does have authority on earth to forgive sins. And as he goes to the cross, he provides forgiveness of sins for any who will come to him in faith, as the paralyzed man's friends came in faith. And our response, I think, needs to be the same as the response in this passage. The people were filled with awe at the remarkable things that they've seen. We need to be filled with awe, amazed afresh at the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus, and to delight again in the free forgiveness that he has won for us on the cross. My greatest problem has been dealt with decisively, once and for all, because Jesus died for me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let's rejoice afresh at all that the Lord Jesus has done for us, the forgiveness that he's won for us on the cross. And let's marvel at the wonderful things that we've seen today. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the power and authority of the Lord Jesus to forgive sins and to address our greatest need. I thank you that he went to the cross and died in our place, that the punishment that we deserve could be taken and that we might be given full forgiveness. So we pray that you would thrill our hearts afresh, that we would be filled with awe at the remarkable things that we've seen in your word. We pray in Jesus' name.